You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Henshaw and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Happy birthday. God bless you and many happy returns. So that's what we say when someone walks in to a surprise birthday party. And it's what we're saying today because Dr. Bennett Blue has walked into a surprise birthday party episode. Today, by the time y'all hear this, we will be celebrating the birthday month, the birthday of Dr. Bennett Blue. If you're a Southerner or you have Southern roots, you have to have an Aunt Bee. And I'm so glad that we do. And she's the best Aunt Bee in the world. And so today, we are honoring the fact that Aunt Bee, Dr. Bennett Blue, is in the world with us, that she has another year of life and wisdom and knowledge by having a surprise birthday party episode just for Dr. Blue. And as a special gift for Dr. Bennett Blue, we are having the Dr. Bennett Blue Shields of the Earth Strong Ladies interview series all month long in honor of Dr. Blue's birthday. Aunt Bee is so precious to us, and we will be hearing from women who have the same fruit of the spirit, courage, knowledge, wisdom, generosity, kindness, loyalty, faithfulness, dedication that Aunt Bee embodies every day of her life on her birthday and beyond. So all month long, we're going to be having the Blue interviews with great ladies who reflect the spirit of Dr. Bennett Blue, and that's our gift to her. And today we are celebrating this wonderful, wonderful light and her birthday. So, surprise! Happy birthday!
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank God for you. I just was having one of those stressful moments, but I looked over at the lamp that I look at when I wake up, and there is a little card with a cross on it from the Marianist Missions, and it reads, "Lord, help me to remember that nothing will happen to me today that you and I together can't handle."
Amen.
And right up under that is a quote from Mahatma Gandhi that says, "Prayer is the key of the morning and the bolt of the evening." And it's what I open my eyes to and I close my eyes to at night, along with my whispered petitions and prayer.
So that's beautiful.
I just needed it just because I was looking at the clock and seeing, oh my Lord, I got to get this lady off the phone, but she's trying to do me a service, and I can't be rude and hang up on her, but she came through with some good stuff, and she worked hard to get me an appointment. So I am thankful, and I give God the glory and blessings.
Amen. Well, it's so cute because we wanted to surprise you with this birthday episode. And so I just told you that we needed your help, and right away you said, yes, you would help us. But really, you are the center of today's episode, your birthday season, the fact that you were born and all that you do for this world. That's what we're celebrating in this show today.
Terrific. Can I start off by sharing something with you?
Please.
Regarding the same.
Oh,
I
amen.
I just this morning had a text from my best friend, for my forever longest best friend.
Aww.
We became friends in the third grade. We're still best friends today. And we missed our 50th high school class reunion because of being involved with family concerns. No, mm-hmm. but what she wrote me back was to celebrate life.
Mm.
And that, you know, maybe we'd get together sometime, that we certainly would, you know, and celebrate, you know, all the good things about our lives. And it was amazing that we had been best friends for so long, and we
yes.
still are, and we had matured together. And
mm-hmm.
so she prays with me, and I also with her, you know, regarding the, you know, I told you about what's going on. Well, you prayed with me for my grandchild, and she has had difficulties herself. She traveled here, and she came across an accident on the road while she was trying to take her mother to an appointment, because we both grew up in Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
And then she lives in Maryland, and she came down, and she has disabilities, but she is so positive and industrious in doing. I mean, she made my first mask for me when the COVID, when the pandemic was beginning, when the other person was sitting in the White House. And I still have that mask.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, I mean, she is so caring. That's what she does. She does really good stuff. She works with young women, and she takes care. She has two daughters who have PhDs, and they have gotten their PhDs since, you know, I've been back home in North Carolina, and we've been in contact, and she's helping her mother, and her sister had to go to hospital for tests, and we first prayed together and stayed together over our concerns. But above all, my prayer was that God would take her safely home. She wrote back when she got back and found everything okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that she was telling me to celebrate life. So you know what that reminded me of?
Mm.
Is
what?
That this is the day the Lord has made. I will
yeah.
rejoice and be glad in it. And the other thing part was she reminded me that the Bible tells us that Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. And so to be able to do those sort of like, to look at those in reverse, is to know that this is the day the Lord has made, because he came here so that I could have this day and that I could rejoice in it and I could enjoy it abundantly. And so now you just added to the abundance of my blessings by surprising me this way. I'm a talkative little soul, you know that. But
that's great for radio.
I just needed to tell you that is what, I mean, although things were happening that were trying to distract me,
mm-hmm.
and I was about to get frustrated because I thought, oh, God, I'm going to miss another opportunity to call and talk to her about something that really concerns us both. But lo and behold, his time is not our time. It was right on time. So I am
right
so
on.
Glad to be talking to you right now in this moment, in this place, in this space.
Amen. Hallelujah. What a beautiful testimony. What a fabulous testimony. You know, I thank you for saying that, because life has become really, you know, something we can't take for granted. We never should have. We're not promised tomorrow. But now with the conditions of the world, you know, stop saving those dresses and shoes for later. Stop talking about the good china and start making every day a celebration. I mean, just being alive is a celebration. You know, just being waking up in the morning. And my goodness, you just did a beautiful job of reminding us to celebrate life. When I was at Harvard as a student, one day my father had mailed me a card and it said, "Enjoy life. This is not a dress rehearsal." You know, this is not a song, it's not a story, it's not a movie. This is our life. And we have to celebrate our life. We have to enjoy our life right now. Don't wait till later. You know, when I get all this together, or when this goes exactly right, or when so-and-so does thus and no, right now, today. And you just taught us to do that wonderfully well. So as we talk about the season of your birth and the wisdom that you've learned and knowledge that you've gained, what's a lesson you have to share with us at this time?
Say that again, please.
We're thinking about the wisdom that you've gained over the years as your birthday comes round again. What's some wisdom that you would share with us?
It has to do with my birth and with my heritage, and it is another thought from the Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And it's seek and ye shall find, knock and the door will be open.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so with that in mind, I'm thinking back to our first meeting and how you were leading me even then, because, you know, I'm thinking again of the Bible that children will lead the way, and you are, I thought of you as my little sister. So in essence, when we first met, I thought of you as a child.
I was really a
woman child, but
I was a kid,
you know.
Yeah.
So you taught me to not give up, to persist in seeking you told me what your granddaddy used to say, and it's like, if you're an Indian, just, you know, worry about just going and be an Indian and be an Indian for today and for tomorrow. But I kept on searching, and guess what? I found out from one of my sisters, my second oldest sister that's living, I found out where my daddy came from, and he was born in 1899.
Wow.
And I found out the connection with my mother's mother, and I found that I had, in 2016, I think I told you about it, without my realizing what I had been given, I was given my tribal number for the Eastern Band of Cherokee. And remember all the stories and talks we had about, you know, Cherokee up in that group of Cherokees up in North Carolina Mountains, and the reservation where you live? Well, I haven't been able to get back to that place, but I have. That's my cousin that I was telling you about, who was speaking to me, who helped to make that happen, but she didn't own it. But the person that gave me the number, and the weirdest thing is, I have to pray that prayer again for, Lord, help me to locate that which is hidden from me.
Ezekiel 34:16.
The number, and Ezekiel was the one that I gave you all that was pressing on me when the pandemic was starting, and that all that mess with that number 45, as they call them. But anyway, this is not about him. This is the wisdom that I gained. I gained it from you.
Aww.
To keep on searching. And as little song as I kept on searching until I found it. Well, I've kept on searching and finding and looking at my birth certificate and, you know, just talking and fussing with people and all. And I found that I have been given a tribal number. I just haven't had the opportunity to use it in the right way, or perhaps I don't need to use it at all. It just takes me back to what you told me about your granddaddy, and keep on looking and being who you are. And I found out where my daddy is from because he kept telling us. He didn't have any education, but he was so proud of me. And I look at this letter from him dated May 28, 1976, and it's the last one thing that I have. And he was praising me and sending me love down in basic training at Fort McClellan, Alabama. But he used to always tell us about his folks, who he came from. He took us around his brothers and sisters, and I never did get to meet his mama. But my sister, second oldest sister, told me within the past year that my daddy is from Lumber Bridge, North Carolina. That is in Robson County, which is where he always claimed. And that authenticates for me that I have got correct memories that connected me. And that is the wisdom, like precious memories, but also think on these things. And it's probably sounding a little disjointed right now, but I'm just so excited.
Beautiful.
That you asked me that, but the wisdom thing that I get the most is when you ask the Lord to take you back to the place where you received him. I received him in Harnett County at the knee of my maternal grandfather, who was a minister, and his wife, my maternal grandmother, who who was the link that got me connected to the Eastern Band of Cherokee. So it is just amazing to me that when you ask, like Solomon did, you ask him for wisdom, he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you in the measure in which you are able to handle it.
Yes.
And so I don't think I've been able to handle all that good, wise stuff, you know, in the past. I've been so busy running and rushing and trying to live and do and please everybody else. And finally, in this time that seems to be circumstantially trialsome, it's been a time also of wisdom gaining and learning to be quiet and be at peace with the Lord and to learn from Him. So that is my
beautiful
wisdom of the day, I guess.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That is gorgeous. You know, I really think wisdom is hidden for us, not from us. And so often God is just, He has treasures and riches that are hidden so that when we need them, when they'll bless us, when they'll bring us to another level in our lives, we can find them. And I'm so thankful you shared that with us. Thank you. That was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. One great thing about what you just said is that we get to grow all during our lives. We can reinvent ourselves. We have facets of our lives, you know. We can use different gifts and different talents during different seasons of our lives, right? And I see you doing that, and it's really wonderful. And so what's on your heart right now? Like, what are you passionate about during this time of your life?
Right now, I'm passionate about some of the same things that I was passionate about before. You know, we talked about my granddaughter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, being prayed for. And I remember I had God sent me a good angel named Pauline Weaver.
Oh, yeah.
And she read my dissertation. And she introduced me to the butterfly concept. And she wasn't able to come to the presentation that I did at the Museum of History, where I talked about my time in service. But I tied a pink ribbon around the chair for her because she was a cancer. She was battling cancer for 17 years, lymphomatic cancer, and it finally took her back to heaven. No, but before she went, she suggested that I write a book with my granddaughters. Because she saw the video where they jumped up out of their seats when it was time for people to come up, and this little boy came up and he wanted to take a picture with me, and they knocked him out of the way and grabbed me around the legs. That's my grandma. And so she thought that was so wonderful, and she encouraged me to write this children's book with them about my military service and about, you know, that. And so we got started, but it got delayed somehow or other. And I still am taken with butterflies. So I was going to call the book Ladybugs and Butterflies. Ladybugs, because that's what my Mia, who is my second granddaughter, reminds me of. She's so wise and old spirit. And then Butterfly for Michelle, my oldest granddaughter, because she does represent that blossoming, metamorphosing creature that God made from a caterpillar into a beautiful, beautiful thing of beauty that goes around and delights everybody. And so Michelle started writing me little notes, and I had them in a box, and it got displaced during travel. So other things have gotten displaced, but they will come back to me when it is time for me to pick up and go. But Pauline actually encouraged me all along, and another thought that I had in my heart was to write a little spiritual thing called My Dear Pauline, where I would republish the letters that she wrote to me. I got a package of those, and I stayed in touch with her daughter. But that and the other things that, you know, my real passion is people and children, because I think of the scripture that Jesus said, "Suffer the little children not, let them come unto me, for such are the kingdom of God." And they are. In some of their little old ways and wants and concerns and worries, they remind me of the little lambs that the shepherd used to bring in and hold dear when, you know, all the other, the wolves and all those things were out there. So that's what I think of. And Pauline kept reminding me of these things in nice, beautiful ways. And she encouraged me in my writing, just like you. And I actually lost three of my angels in one swift 90-day period.
Oh, I'm sorry.
At the beginning of 2020, and so that was my former mother-in-law and a best friend, Pauline, in February, and my friend who helped advance my career in the civilian sector, and my mother-in-law. So, I mean, they were actually senior elder spirit guides, and they just sort of, I felt a real sharp loss when they went on, but I think they finished their job, and Guy was telling me it's time for me to sprout my wings as a butterfly and fly about and just give. That is the thing that gives me most delight, is that I don't care how much dollars I may amass. He gives me more than enough, and if I can help somebody else, like I buy these masks and carry them around in the car, and if I see people standing on the corner, I'll hand some out to them. I mean, I might give them $1 or $2, but on top of that, I mean, on top of those masks, I'll give them like 4 or 5 masks, because you got to stand out here and you got to, you know, cry for your supper. At least you can cry safely and cry another day.
Uh-huh.
And so it just, that delights me, is that, you know, I don't even care that anybody, that they remember me or even say thank you or whatever. It's just that if there's somebody that I see in need, and if I got it, you know, I give it. And I sense a lot during this pandemic time of pressure from, you know, others to hold back. And I've pushed on because it's a long thing, but I still believe that, you know, the more you give, the more will be given to you, you know, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing in abundance. And I don't really need for anything. Nothing really at all. Nothing. I mean, all these people that I'm talking to that are like distracting me and trying to make me nuts, I have to turn around and look at that thing that I just told you about. Lord, help me to remember that nothing will happen to me today that you and I together cannot handle. And when I think of that, and when I keep my mind stayed on him, then I can do in his timing each thing that he meant for me to get done today in the way he meant for me to get it done, and still be at peace and find the joy that he promises us. So that's my passion right there. My passion is, really, I was trying so hard to get back home to people that I love, to put my arms around. And I was running away from some that I probably needed to stop and cultivate.
Wow. Yeah. That, I mean, right there, you just gave us a nugget of wisdom. I mean, somebody needs to hear that right now, sweetheart, because I used to pray a prayer, Lord, don't let me miss my miracle because I don't like or recognize the package that it comes in.
Amen.
And somebody needed to hear what you just said. Someone is chasing an emotionally unavailable person when really right around them are great people. Somebody is dreaming of something, oh, coulda, woulda, shoulda, or I wish I had this, or I would rather have that, and they don't realize how blessed they are right now, where they are, with what they have. I mean, that you just preached right there.
Well, the person that I really want to be near and next to is my mama's last sister, and I've talked to you about her too.
Yeah.
And I told you that I didn't want to talk about the busybody effect going on there and the whole attempt of the evil one to try to interrupt her healing gift and her mindset. But I pray that God will bind the devil from her mind and from her, and not let him touch the gift that he gave her, and that is wisdom, because her wisdom says this: a prayer and an answer will not stay in heaven together.
Mm-hmm.
And to pray, keep on praying. She tells us that time is not winding down. It is winding up, because God is soon and very soon to come.
Mm-hmm.
And people just want to say that she is. I've had this said about me, is that she's like mentally not tracking. It's something about dementia and all this stuff. There's nothing wrong with my mama's baby sister's mind. Just like there's nothing wrong with my sister's baby sister's mind. It's a mind of Christ. That mind which is in you, let it be that mind of Christ that's in you. So I am, that is the one. That is the one I've been trying to get to. I've been trying to get back to her because I remember I was always looking for my mama since she died. And one day in church, when they had altar call, my aunt stepped down and she touched my hand. And all of a sudden, I had my eyes closed and I felt my mama's hand coming through her hand. And she felt it too. Uh-huh. And whenever I would stay over to her house, you know, when I came on trips from Virginia, she would put me to bed in her daughter's room because her daughter had moved out. And she put the covers over me and pat me to sleep. She'd give me a little nightie to wear, and she'd pat me to sleep and kiss me. Oh, Lord, I'm going to cry.
Aw. Bless your heart.
Because I know God is in charge of everything, but I don't want to lose her. I want to get there to, you know, to hug her and to help her to know that she keeps on wanting me to come and live near her and to go work in the church. As she has done and seen it done, and as she has seen me doing, and she just wants to see me do it again. And if I can get there.
You know what's great about that? Is that God doesn't have any limits. There's no time or distance in the spirit. And so, you know, we always think of the will of God as a place or an action or a you know, where should I be and what should I do? When really just wanting, just being willing to follow God puts us in the will of God. And so right now, I believe just being willing, just wanting to embrace this beautiful, beautiful soul and this wonderful call is just all God needs right now, just to work. We're going to take a commercial break right now, but when we come back, we're going to celebrate much more with this beautiful soul, Aunt Bee. So stay right where you are, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Come and save her. Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you.
Do you overcook your pasta? Do you mix your lights with your darks and tell long, complicated jokes that have no punchline? Do you have trouble wrapping gifts? Sound like a hyena when singing happy birthday and have no idea how the metric system works? Well, if you answered yes to any of the above questions, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you can't tie a Windsor knot, forget to defrost the chicken, can't tell a latte from a cappuccino, confuse North and South Dakota, overuse commas, throw a frisbee like it's a flounder, and still believe kids really do love lima beans, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information on how you can adopt, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years... Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Surprise! Today we are having a special surprise birthday celebration for Aunt B, Dr. Bennis Blue, and we're honoring her today with a surprise birthday party episode, and we'll have the Blue Interviews, which is our gift to her. Strong ladies will be heard from all month long in order to celebrate the integrity, the honor, and the insight of this great soul. Dr. Bennis Blue, when you look at your life and your birthday and this season of your life, what do you hope happens next?
I hope I become more like him. And I, you know, as I'm answering this question, I wanted to thank you for the spaceship break so I could catch my breath and just breathe in spirit and just calm down, because I interpreted your response to what I was saying about to wrap my arms around somebody.
Beautiful.
As part of what you were saying came out like improper relationships, and I was not longing for that.
Oh, no.
What I'm longing for. No, I've gotten past that now. I've dealt with that too. And the relationship that I was longing for was to reconnect with my mother.
Yes.
Via the heart and soul and spirit of her baby sister.
Mm-hmm.
And
I understand that.
To be able to pass that along to my baby. I tried to pass it on to my baby niece, but she's resistant. But I think my baby niece, my baby granddaughter, the youngest, is sort of might be the receptive vessel. I don't know, but we're talking about healing and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for bringing me back.
I think it's beautiful. I think it's so wonderful that God puts love like that in our lives, where we can connect with people. And, you know, I am absolutely certain that your beloved mother is so pleased with you. And I know that she would love to love you through her sister and through all the other people that God places in your life. And so I completely understood and understand what you're saying, because I really see that as a gift God is giving you during this season. And I think it's really amazing.
And what I would like most, to be behind, I guess. But what I would like most is to be more like him, like God, Christ, and to leave a legacy that does just what you just said. of that, and I do believe that there is a place that God wants all of us to be, and that is in His arms and in His kingdom and happy together. And I want to fulfill the requirement to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, not depart, and that my son will train up his children in the pure admonition of God, and that I will be able to leave behind a legacy of, like, ladybugs and butterflies or whatever it takes. You know, conversations with wise old Mia, because she and I bonded when she was 6 weeks old. And she calls me up and has these conversations on the phone, and she's very matter-of-fact, and she doesn't beat around the bush about what she wants and what she's doing, and she's smart. And the last time I was over there, she told the mama, "Mama, I'm hungry, and I want my macaroni and cheese." So, in other words, she was trying to tell her mama, "Okay, Mama, we visited with Grandma now. You said it would be brief. This time, Mama, can we get in here and make my mac and cheese?" And she's been given duties. She's been given the Martha duties of Mary and Martha, to go around and clean the doors and, you know, deliver little packages for her sister who's quarantined. But, and also to play with her little brother who is a little rascal. But I just feel it's like if you ask me what was the greatest gift anybody could give me, it would be that God would allow me the gift of giving, passing on the gift that he has gifted my soon to be 68 years, and, you know, to pass on that memory and that reality and that faith and that healing that has been passed to me, because I believe that whatever you ask in faith, believing that faith, if faith conquers a lot, not that faith conquers all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is what I want most
Beautiful.
Of all.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. There's so many wonderful things in what you're saying. I see all the generations and everything. And I really believe that God does. When we delight in Him, He gives us the desires of our heart. And it's not just what we want, it's what we should want. And I believe those are good desires that God has placed in your heart just so He can grant them. You know, He put them there so He can say yes. And I really believe we're going to see some beautiful things happen in your family. And I can't wait. Ladybugs and Butterflies, I can't wait for that to be a book that we can all add to our libraries. I think it's going to be wonderful. And I'm just going to speak over it that it will come into existence. But, you know, we're in some troublesome times. And you mentioned your beautiful friend that made your first mask for you. And, you know, I think it's really important for community leaders like yourself, people that are role models. You know, you've had this tremendous military service and academic career. And, you know, you're so well thought of. I think I'd like to hear you talk to us a little bit about how we can all survive these times and live to have more birthdays. And I think maybe that starts with wearing a mask. Do you have an opinion on masks?
Oh, I would have said that even before you asked. You know, my thumb is probably sore. It's getting a little thin in it. I have been texting my relatives, my nieces and nephews, all night long. All those that would, I've been texting them, urging them to get vaccinated and to mask up and to take care, to beware of the new, what they call the pandemic of the unvaccinated. I tell them to look out for, especially to take care in whatever they're doing, to look out for those who are under 12.
Uh-huh.
Who, there is no uh-huh. vaccine available for them. And I tell them how I, you know, I had the option and the opportunity to mask up and wait out the arrival of the approval of the vaccine that I did get. And then when I asked for it, I had to fight for it, but I had to call up and, you know, like just really about one of those crazy acts. But I did get my vaccine. I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine because I was allergic to things in the Pfizer vaccine, had serious reaction to it before. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that to always remember, even all of that, that little thing, it's a little song I used to teach the kids in Sunday school, but it comes from one of the Psalms, "The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Yes.
Whom shall I fear?"
Mm-hmm.
Why should I fear? What should I fear? Should I fear COVID? Should I fear a pandemic? Should I fear, you know, the side effects of a vaccination? Should I fear, you know, a second pandemic? No, because that's not what God promised. He promised that he is working for our good and not for our hurt or harm. And I believe that. And so with that in mind, mask up. But you don't just mask up. You wore up. You put on the Ephesians garments. And I've been listening to sermons talking about how much, you know, in detail about what the battle, what the armor, you know, the battle, really what physically and spiritually what the battle was, you know, what those things you put on, you know, like how armor worked back in the days when they fought with armor, you know, like with soldiers and that. And then talking about the armor from the Bible, the spiritual armor, which is the reading and understanding of the word. Get you first understanding. Don't lean to your own understanding, but acknowledge mm-hmm. him in all your ways. And so that is what I would say to people. Don't just, the mask is a part of the armor. I mean, the today's armor, the millennial armor, or whatever it is they're calling themselves now. But it mm-hmm. it is also not the only, it's not the first thing they should put on. The first thing they should put on is that sword, the righteousness, which is the Bible, the Word of God. Put mm-hmm. that on, put that in your spirit, put that in your heart, put it in, not just on your body, but in yourself. And feed on the Word, like my aunt would say, that I just was telling you about. And, you know, you might don't get it all at one time. You might don't get it from the King James Version. You might have to go through, as I do, like three or four different kinds of versions and listening to good teaching television preachers or somebody who knows how to teach it to you so that you can feed on it. But you need to fill your mind with the things that will, just like men in the military, I mean, they didn't send us out there to walk on little crackers and water. They gave us sea rations back in the day, and mm-hmm. then MREs, mm-hmm. and now this fancy whatever they done put. But they didn't expect the soldiers to walk around and carry all this heavy equipment and all around and not eat. And so God didn't mean for us to walk around in a heavy battle on this earth without something to eat. And so when I tell you that I'm praying, it came to me thinking about those Israelites, and that I told you I was going to bed and think of, you know, take my bread, my manna for the day, and get up the next day, and he'll supply the next. So that's kind of what they need to do is to. I would tell people to read in Deuteronomy and Numbers and see what's going on with the Israelites with a new eye towards. That's not just some old hokey pokey stuff back way in the Bible days. It don't have any meaning for me. It has sense and relevance mm-hmm. to right now, and what they're hollering and hooping for they want to go back to what they call normal. No, they don't. They want to do just what the Israelites did. They want to go back to millennial slavery. Instead of moving forward, God is trying to push us out of into the promised land by this means, you know, and they just fight and fuss and kill other people and go violent and all this just because they want to go back to something that they thought was normal when they didn't have to ask God. They didn't have to ask him for daily provisions, when they were running along Mary and he was providing it, and they didn't stop and say thank you. And so now they want to go back, but I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. I want to move forward. I want to move on to the next thing, like you said, from destiny to destiny.
Yeah.
I want to move forward to the next best thing that he has for us. That's what I would encourage people to do. In all of their doing, still. Out for the little ones. They are the next generation. Nobody told anybody they were going to live forever in this earthly form, but that they should pass on the information to the next generation. They should protect and watch over the next generation and always bring them up in fear and admonition of the Lord. So that's been long-winded, but I think I halfway got to the point of what it was you was asking me.
That's awesome, because, you know, I think so often we forget what it's really about. You know, a butterfly can't see its own wings. They're beautiful just so we can see them and enjoy them. And we have to remember, it's about others, folks. You know, I love what you're saying, because it reminds us to care about others. Empathy is not political. You know, if you're wearing a mask, if you're taking care of the people around you, it's because you're thinking about other people. You know, vaccines, you're thinking and caring about other people, especially our precious treasures of our children that haven't been able to get vaccinated yet, or are too little maybe to wear a mask all the time. We have to take care of them. You know, pandemics and genocide have hit our native and indigenous people so hard over the centuries. And so we have to really think about this as an act of love. We don't want our tribes and nations wiped out. You know, we have to protect our beautiful future and each other. So thank you for saying that in such a great way. I'm so proud of your military service and the groundbreaking role that you played. And I know you're humble about it, but I love it. And I think it's wonderful. And I thank you for your military service. I just wonder, you know, did military service teach you or prepare you for these troublesome times that we're living in? Did you get any lessons during your military service that you can share that might help us as we go through this really uncertain time?
Thank you for those comments and for the question. I'm going to try to answer this with reason and with whatever God gives me to say, because I think, personally, in my human way, I just ran and zoomed through life carefree and happy and on a dare and everything, and that's how I got into the military. But I was determined to be, you know, to press on with the military, because I knew my daddy had tried to enlist, and he did have a draft card that was altered and misplaced back during World War II. And he was, by the time, you know, they got around to it, the war was over, and he never got in the service. But just looking at that letter that I was telling you about from him while I was in training, it just reminds me that God gave me an earthly father that didn't have he didn't have a formal education of sorts. He never even finished the first grade. All he could do was sign his name. And the letter that he's written, that he signed, was in my brother's handwriting, but it's from him, and it's his dictation. And I know that it's the love that he sent me. But the thing is that what trained me was being brought up at my mother's father's knee, and my father been taken around by my father, who was steadfast and a good and loving father up until his death. And I believe I was really much a daddy's girl. So in the end, I must be a daddy's girl for my heavenly daddy. But as to being in the military, it was just something that I felt, you know, compelled to do for, you know, because that sense of patriotism I got from daddy, and, you know, from my family members, nephews and relatives, and my uncle was in the National Guard, and, you know, all those folks that were there. And then I was so proud and impressed with my brother-in-law. My sister next up for me married a soldier who was in 7th Special Forces, went to Vietnam, and he had that swag. He wore that maroon beret, and I thought, oh, I want to be just like him. My other sister, my best sister, that used to make me laugh, who died over 10 years ago. Her husband was in the Navy. And so you see, I had the Air Force, Army, Navy, National Guard, and all those folks surrounding me. And I had no, I mean, when I was in college, I took a vocational test, and it said I would best serve as a military officer. So and went home and joined the reserves as an enlisted person with the help of my cousin's husband, who was in the reserve. And then I went to training at Fort McClellan and got a direct appointment through the Women's Army Corps. So, what it taught me was the race is not to the swift, but to the sure, and that perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
With perseverance, you do endure. And I made it through. I made it through a lot of stuff, that I don't have to really, recall and talk about right now. But I made it through stuff for basic training. I went through jump training because I was really excited and took it on a dare. I was told I was a wuss and given a dare that I couldn't do it. So I did it. I mean, I went there, and I even spent an extra week in the training because of some other stuff happening, some negative stuff. But you know what? God took me right through that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I got delayed on the assignment when I got to Fort Bragg. They wouldn't let me go to rigor school, which is the people that pack the parachutes.
Oh, okay.
But they let my buddy go, who was my classmate. And they wouldn't let me be in the 82nd at first because there was that glass window. And then all of a sudden, here came some very wonderful, beautiful women. And not African-American seniors who were mentors, and a good soldier who was a sergeant major who was friends with my soon-to-be spouse. They pushed me forward because I guess they saw some drive and spunk in me because I didn't take no crap off of anybody, to include my senior officer, and I probably should have been, could have been, would have been, when I put the grace of God. Made a civilian way long before because of this person's, application of their will, their military will. And I was given sense enough then to know that you do not follow. That's not an order that you're bound to follow because it's not in keeping with whatever. But so I went on, and finally, through the efforts of other people and because they pushed me forward, because all I needed was a little push. And I get up and jump on a deer. I rappelled out of, did helicopter rappels, and finally ended up jumping out of airplanes and helicopters.
Wow.
Somebody gave me a little nudge, and they pushed me a little forward just to test. And along the way, when I did get admitted to the 82nd, then assigned and stuff, I was greeted by the division command sergeant major's brother, who was the headquarters company commander for the 82nd. His name was Captain Hunt, and he came out and he welcomed me to the 82nd Airborne as their first woman assigned, Sandra Roster here. And so that's my validation with them, and I don't care what anybody else says. I know that the morning report carried that I was. So, but anyway, when I got to the assignment, all the people that were in the unit that I was in were friends and friendly. I was the only one. They just thought a lot of me, and they, helped me out with the strength training, and they put me back with the old folks platoon, the older guys back there at the back of the formation when we did those division runs. And I got to run at a slower pace because the time for men running then was like they had to run a 6-minute mile when women were given an 8-minute mile. So I had mastered the 8-minute mile, but the thing was the endurance and running. And the older guys ran a slow pace with me at the end of the formation just so that I could make it. They helped me. They cheered me on when I went into the office. And I wanted they wanted to tough me up and not have me act like a wuss. One old one officer told me, he's like, Lieutenant, you come in here, let me tell you something. You don't sit in there and take, you're the assistant PBO, you don't take no mess off them. You cuss them out. He kicked the desk, and he said, and you tell them just what it is you want them to do. So I was imitating him. And I think they got a good laugh out of it, but they would toughen me up because I didn't have to badger those guys. They did it for just pride and love, that they finally had them a life leader. And that I was, just because I was a different gender didn't mean that I wasn't, good enough. And so they made me feel so good. And then it's just like the destiny, the trajectory that I left active duty when my colonel, who was the best boss I ever had, when he dropped dead. And he used to run 26 miles every day, and he didn't know he had a heart murmur. And he was actually playing ball with the soldiers when at lunchtime, and he fell down and died. And that sort of like, that's like, it collapsed my parachute wings. And I couldn't help but cry during the memorial service. And I thought, oh, you do not cry. You're the only woman sitting in this place. You know, you're the only mm-hmm. woman among these men, and officers don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
But I did cry. I mm-hmm. had to cry because that was in me. And that is like my first big hardcore, you know, it's not the only love and leadership experience I had in the Army at the beginning of my first assignment. But if you want to focus on that 82nd thing and all that and what it means and all, but what it means is this, is that I was a very fallen human being who was placed with some winged human beings by the master of wings.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me wings for a minute, and then he let them droop so that I could come back down to earth and grow some more. And so that's what took me over through the years and through the different changes and through the, you know, being a commander and being a mother in the military and being married to another military person and the different places we went and all the things, all the hurdles that I had to jump. They weren't fun at the time, but I really enjoyed the experience. And coming back at the end, I see that I ended up having 24 years of service to my account. And just all of those experiences and all those people. And if it were not for the Lord who was on my side, I would not have been there. Oh. And I would not have made it. And that is the lesson that I've learned. It helps me now to come back and remember that. So I've been a soldier in man's army. Why can't I just be a soldier in the army of the Lord? So that's my answer to your question about
beautiful.
The military and all
wonderful.
That.
Oh, my goodness. On that note, as we close, I want to say again, happy birthday, Dr. Blue. Happy birthday, Aunt B. Happy, happy birthday, and many, many more.
Thank you so very much. I'll sing a little bit of that little song that they sing. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. I can't sing anymore. I can't sing like I used to, but, you know, it's just a little bit of my weird humor to
Amen.
Let you know that I really appreciate your thoughtfulness, your love. And I appreciate you being one of my head spirit guide, aside from the Holy Spirit, that you are the one that's left. You're guiding me, and everything that you do and every prayer that you send forth, and my baby Daniel, baby prophet Daniel, everything mm-hmm. that you do, every time you reach out to me, it helps to settle me down and re-anchor me in the things that I should be thinking of, that I should be doing. So thank you so much. I really, really love and appreciate you, and may God bless you eternally. Thank you.
Amen. We love you, Aunt B. Have a wonderful birthday all month long. And for all of you who joined us today, God loves you, and we do too. We'll see you next time.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back. What the Lord forgave you? And save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.